So that's going to be an English podcast today. Actually, it's our second English podcast on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's also our second podcast with Akriti. Hello, Akriti. This time, it's actually a remote podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me again.
For sure.
Yeah, it's quite a great day in Berlin today, but I'm happy, like, still that we get to do this remote.
It's not just in Berlin. I think it's
not
only Berlin. It's also Stuttgart. I think it's in whole Germany, actually. So yeah, it is. It starts to get really cold, but it also starts to be the high season for Food Spring, isn't it? In January, it's gonna be really interesting for you.
That is correct. I think we always, especially in our categories, I think this is quite a prime time for us, especially with the upcoming Black Friday, Cyber Monday deal events. And then we're all of us are preparing at the moment for quarter one, because that's the main target that we have in our minds.
When do you start with planning for the quarter one?
We start planning for quarter one in the summer, actually.
to be very honest,
ideally.
So
For
80% of our brands, it's the main season right now, and they started planning at Easter or something like that. And but for other brands like Food Spring, it's gonna be at the end of December or mid of December. It starts to go really good, and January is the high season. Yeah, we do have
the high.
We have a few really interesting topics. That's also the reason why Akriti and I, we spoke at the Mexico. We had a chat and we said, okay, we should maybe do a second podcast, because it changes a lot in the whole market. It changes a lot, especially as well for Food Spring. And you're also doing a lot of really interesting things on Amazon. That's also the reason I have to give that hint right now before I forget it, why you also have a keynote speech at our e-commerce night in right now 3 weeks. 3 weeks, yeah, 3 weeks. We have the 19th of October right now, and on the 11th of November, no, the 10th of November, right? You have your keynote at our e-commerce night. Can you just give us a little bit of information what you're going to talk about?
Sure. Firstly, again, it's an honor to be given this stage. And I've heard so much about these e-commerce nights. It's going to be my first one that I attend.
Yeah, right. You have not been at the last one.
I have not been. No. And I'm really excited for it. Really thank you for for the stage. And I'm really excited to share the stage with Jörg as well. What I will be touching on is, obviously, I think I know that majority of the audience, I think it's really interesting for them that what our brand journey has been on Amazon, given that we're a mid to big level company. And I want to touch on what I have noticed, or what my biggest theme has been throughout my life journey, or throughout my journey with Food Spring and with Amazon and with Amazon ads, and going deeper into topics that I think could be interesting for our community, or learnings that they could take from our journey.
Yeah.
So it's quite vague, but I don't want to give much away.
I think that's going to be really interesting, and for everybody who's not going to be at it, should I say that? No, fuck it. Who's not going to be at e-commerce night, we're also going to upload that on YouTube. So I'm actually really excited for the speech, and we're also going to upload it for everybody who's not going to be able to join to the e-commerce night. But I think we can, or maybe it's smart for everybody who not heard something about you to do a small or a quick introduction to you as a person, what you're doing, and also maybe to the company, to the brand Food Spring, what Food Spring is all about.
Sure. So my name is Akriti Malhotra. I am originally from India. I grew up in the Middle East. I've been in Berlin for the past 5 years. I've also primarily of that journey with Foodspring. So I've been with Foodspring now for 4 years. I'm leading the marketplace channel at Foodspring, and our primary marketplace currently also being Amazon. Foodspring has now existed for almost around 10 years plus. We are a very, very relevant and a very, very full of nutrition, high quality nutrition brand in the supplements and protein category. And we aim at providing really lifestyle, high quality nutrition products to our consumers. So a lot of our best sellers include our whey proteins, our vegan proteins. Our protein ranges are quite popular amongst our consumers. And also we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and categories in Amazon as well.
Yes. And can you, before we get into the Amazon and e-commerce strategies and so on, can you give us a little overview at least where you sell or where Foodspring is selling their products mainly?
Sure. So as we started off as a very D2C focused company, where our biggest main selling sales channels was our web shop, and over the years we've now expanded and we are a very omni-channel focused company, and we sell in three main sales channels, which is a web shop, and our retail sales are quite growing in post COVID as well, and then we sell on Amazon as well across all of our EU markets. So we sell in 5 primary EU markets, being Germany and Italy being our biggest markets, and then we're also present in Spain, France, and the UK.
Nice. So I think that's enough for a good overview, or to have a good overview. When we started to work together, the focus of the brand and the focus of the partnership with eFly or with Foodspring and eFly has been primarily, at least, growth. We had to grow a lot, like all the other brands out there. Not only in your niche, or not only in the supplement in the supplement niche. Mainly, it was all about growth. Now it all changed, or it not all changed, but in most of the brands, it changed a lot. At least they want to do profit. They want to be profitable at the marketplace itself. They want to be profitable as a whole company. How did that affected you as a company as well? A lot of company, and what did you do? Also, especially to do that shift as well.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a really excellent question, and I think this is very relevant especially in our industry at the moment, or in Amazon, as every seller's biggest focus currently. I think it has a lot to do with the economic factors that are in play in the current. Current environment that we are running in. It's just that we have a huge inflation. All of our raw material products in entire industry, right? Everything, all the prices have been continuously on a rise.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think, like you said, when we started our journey on Amazon, we were still on that COVID high, where our industry and everything was just running at a pace 10 times faster, and we were growing massively. But I think what we realized when we entered this economic phase, and I think every company realized, is that we're not growing smartly. And I think that's where the shift we had to take is, how do we achieve smart growth? And what I mean by smart growth was...
That would have been my next question. What do you mean by smart growth?
Smart growth, what I mean by smart growth is, at the end, we are obviously growing top line, but what is your focus on the bottom line?
Yeah.
And I think that is something that kind of was just put under the carpet in the past years. But this year, given the increase in Amazon fees, given the increase in our Prime costs, given the increase in everything,
and it's still increasing.
Also,
it did not
still
stop
increasing.
Yet.
And then our Amazon ads investments, we need to focus on the margin that we have left. And I think every company's focus is this margin that we have left.
Yeah.
And we somehow need to grow that. So I think when we started and when we did our podcast in Jan, I think we were not that well aware of this topic yet. It became prevalent in the next few months. And you can also, I would love to hear about it from other sellers as well, from your experience, but at least what we started with evaluating is the two biggest topics that we could. One is also the three biggest topics. So one is our portfolio, which is our biggest thing. And when then comes operations, and then comes Amazon advertising. So I think that's how we started this whole process of optimization. So first topic being portfolio. Okay, what are our non-profitable SKUs? Why are we selling them on Amazon? Across channel, across also our, the FBA fees differ so much per country. And even in the Pan-EU setup, it's the difference is massive. So we really had to look across all our, all of our sales channel, across all of our selling countries to really find the right portfolio that works for us, that is profitable for us.
Major point, I think we still do have a few cases, and we also get a lot of new cases in where we get in contact, which did not do that change so far. So to optimize the portfolio, I think it's a never-ending thing. It's an ongoing thing, non-stop. Especially to do that on not only on the main marketplace, also do that on the other countries, because there is such a big difference, as you just said it. It's a major, major thing, and I think you also have to go into detail there. Like, for example, change the small and light program changed, and you have different prices or maximum prices for each and every country like that. So I think it's a major, major topic, which not enough people have, or which not enough people did so far, actually. But what? So you, what did you do regarding the portfolio? You decreased, or you stopped maybe also selling products which have not been profitable, or you increased prices at least, I think. Did you also change up the portfolio, like bundles or something like that? Or what did you do as well?
So I think it was more about, so we kind of categorize into the short-term changes and the long-term changes, right? So in the short-term was exactly, I think everyone in our industry, and we've compared competitors as well, everyone increased prices. And I think that was step number one, exiting quarter one. First things everyone did, increase prices, and we did the same. And then comes the point where then you look at your SKU level, your SKU level economics, and then you go like, okay, what can I really optimize here? So obviously there are our COGS also increased massively. So then there were products, obviously, that were not profitable for us anymore to sell on Amazon at the moment. So in the short term, we decided to delist. So we also actually cut down our portfolio on Amazon by almost 50%, which not necessarily means that you're losing that much revenue actually in the end, because you also have to be strategic about it, because there's also not all, there's not every SKU in your portfolio is not contributing to revenue in the end. So we also not just delisted products that are non-profitable, but also products that we don't want to spend effort on. And I think that's very important, because you can get 80% of your revenue from 20% of your products, and that 80-20 rule always applies.
In 90% of the cases, it is like that, 100%.
Yeah. And then I think would come the main topic, which is in the long term, is what we want to look at now is more bundling, more a bigger price pack architecture for our products to kind of have a portfolio that's optimized where we can we have a good margin left at the end of all of our products.
Yeah. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So you bundle up products, like you not sell only one protein powder, you sell two or three pieces, or do you mix up products with a different kind of products, or what do you do there exactly?
So this is something we're still testing right now. So so we've also tested shipping bundles to Amazon, but I think that does not make sense fees-wise as well. The virtual bundling would be a good feature when it's launched for us to test, and I think this is a huge on the roadmap for quarter one. A lot of our competition on Amazon sells quite bigger packages.
Now, can you just give me 1 second for everybody who does not know what virtual products mean? What are virtual products, just for all the people who do not know what a virtual product
virtual bundle
is?
Virtual bundles.
Not product.
Maybe I think you can go deeper into the topic, but at least what I've only seen a little bit of it in the American market, but basically that we would not need to create a special SKU for a certain product. We would not really need to create a physical bundle,
yes,
but you can virtually bundle two products on Amazon as a listing, and you can have virtual listings, which I think would be a game changer for a lot of us that are, for cross-selling especially.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned the US. It is already live in the US, so you can use that. So it's just a question of time when it's going to be in the EU. I heard quarter four. So right now.
Oh, really?
We heard quarter one. So let's see. But I do hope so. We from our ads person, we got also the more or less final answer with quarter one. So let's see if that's gonna happen. And I do also think that's gonna be a big change, because you have to, or you are able to maximize your portfolio so easily and without any costs. So it could be a big game changer, like you just said. So,
for sure. And for us to increase our average order values, right? Average basket order values.
Absolutely. So right now we are in the topic of the portfolio, what you did the last months, mm-hmm, actually, regarding your strategy to get more at the bottom line out of your growth on Amazon portfolio. Is there anything else you did or you could give as a tip for all the listeners?
I mean, there's no hiding. We also have to cut down on advertising spend. And I think and there was a lot of optimization done there. I think you just have to get smarter with where you spend,
yeah,
and what products you spend. So again, I think biggest thing we did was the margin analysis per product. And I think there you really get an idea of which products you really want to invest money in, because there's a good ROAS on those products,
yeah,
and the rest. So I think, definitely, we have to cut down a lot of advertising spend, but it's not permanent. So we can always start scaling and growing again.
Yeah, but I think that's something throughout all the brands that you have to decrease your not the budget at the end of the day, but it's always gonna end as a budget. All the brands had to decrease their ACOS at least,
yeah,
because the costs got so much higher, so you're not be able to do the same of advertising you have been able before, because your margin just got lower at the end of,
yeah,
the day.
Exactly.
Yes. What have been the main things you did in the advertising space to decrease the ACOS on the one hand, and the other hand, hopefully as well, the takeos?
So I think one thing in the long term we did was, in the short term we did, was that we started focusing a lot on our lower funnel audiences. So just to improve our ROAS and just to focus on really relevant audience for us at the moment, I think our biggest goal was to convert lower funnel audiences. So including, that also means a lot more focus on branded keywords at the moment. That also means a lot. So prospecting is there for certain products where we know, mm-hmm, we're quite good at converting.
Mm-hmm.
But for products that we know right now doesn't make sense, we're just focusing on lower funnel advertising.
Yeah.
So also for DSP, for example, most of our budget right now goes on lower funnel.
Yeah. So it was a fight actually for you, Akiti, and for Annika at our team, who's managing the account together with Akiti and Mihi, mm-hmm, to be able to decrease the takeos and ACOS and so on and so,
yeah,
on. But it worked out with all the things you just said. It was primarily, but at the end of the day, it was primarily, if I'm right, that we focused a lot on the main products to do general advertising and do more or less no advertising or just branded advertising for the 80% of the products and focus on the other 20%. Is right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also just the right placements. Also, like, we don't need to win for every product. We don't need to win the top spot and the top slots. So just,
Can you explain that?
And Annika Nishi did an amazing job, actually, at that.
That's a really, really important point. I think not enough people have that on their agenda. What do you mean with not advertising on the first spot? And what could I do rather than that?
Sure. I think in the past, for example, I can give you a very small example. When people look for protein, for example, it was our biggest goal that we pay the highest amount to be on the top first four slots that there are, the sponsored slots.
Yeah.
But over time, we also realized, like, yes, I mean, that's obviously where you get the most visibility, but also the worst ROAS, and it's also the most expensive slots.
Absolutely.
But if you bid a little bit lower, you could be in the middle of the page, and that the conversion is still not that bad. It's still quite high, and I think you can also choose how. I think so. Video placements obviously have a lot more conversion rate, is way higher. So there's also what you can do instead is also then invest in video placements rather than investing in the top sponsored product slot. And I think that also worked out really well for us. So we just had to test. We just tested a lot of different strategies, and then.
I think that's also really important to, if you have a product which is really, really ranked good, regarding or which is ranked good organic wise, to decrease the advertising, not stop it totally, but decrease it on at least those main keywords, those main targets, and to be seen first as an organic listing or as an organic product, and afterwards as a paid product. So that's also a lot of the times it is a key thing to do to be able to decrease the takers a lot. There's also a new thing you just mentioned, sponsored brands like videos and so on. They launched it a week ago or a few weeks ago with the different pictures. So we are able to do free pictures for sponsored brands right now. And I do know that we also, that we already started that for with Foodspring or with you guys. Mm-hmm. Do you already know the first, or do you have already a few insights for us? Because I do not know, I just do know because I saw it on Akritis, I just want to say, on Anikas laptop, but I do not know what the results are yet.
No, actually, I think we just set it up last week, this week, actually, Annika set it up for us. It looks great. I think the slideshow is a great addition.
Absolutely.
Because you can promote a lot more lifestyle. I think you can add five, if I'm not wrong, five images.
Yep.
So it's great because then you can have you can show the brand as well as you can show different lifestyle images. So I think I really assume, like, on Facebook, it used to work quite well back in the day. So I'm assuming on Amazon as well, it's going to work quite well. But hopefully I can probably share insights on e-commerce night about it if we find it.
Yeah, nice. So it's also pretty good, especially if you do not have your own video content for some products. I think it's a really, really good addition. That's the reason why I just said it, because you brought the topic up with the video ads. All right.
Yeah, and I think one really nice point that you mentioned was about the organic rankings, because I think in the past we've also spent so much money already to spend on advertising, so that obviously increases our organic rankings and the sales velocity as well. That I think once you're decently organic ranked, the goal is eventually to get to the highest organic rank, so you can cut down on your advertising spend completely, right?
100%.
So yeah, that's definitely
So you also did a lot. So at the beginning, I said that we want to look on what Foodspring or what you actually especially did on Amazon in the last months since our last podcast. But we also want to look what you did, especially not only on the strategic side for the profitability and so on. We also want to look what you did on things like an Amazon Marketing Cloud, where you did a lot of interesting things. You just mentioned a few at the beginning, where we connected with a DSP at the end of the day, and which you only have, if I'm not mistaken, the goal to make it all better at the bottom line. So it's more or less an addition to the strategic part regarding the bottom line.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, so ever since we started the strategic shift this year, I think I realize more and more that I really want to focus a lot more on AMC, especially that now we have access to this data.
You also started really early regarding the AMC. So you started right away, actually.
Yeah, we actually started almost at the end of last year. And I actually have a really good internal business intelligence team at Foodspring here. And I'm super confident in their skills, and I was like, you know what, I want to build my own AMC dashboard. I don't want to ask, I don't want any other brand or any other tool out there to do this for me. And with our account, with our ads account managers and ad tech account managers, we were able to get the instances created immediately, and even before the SKU cases or the actual easy cases that are now on Amazon easily searchable, or the templates that are now available, we already had those capabilities in-house. So we started looking up data, because for me as an advertiser, I think this is the most important piece of information that I was missing in the past, to connect all of my activities externally and internally together to really see what the right media mix for me is while I'm advertising on Amazon.
Can you give us a few examples, just to make it a lot more clear, what could be examples for so-called media mix?
So I think the biggest use cases that we're working on when we started querying with AMC was that we really get an understanding of what the touch points look like, or what the customer journey looks like. Yeah. So what kind of touch, because we're doing top funnel DSP, we're doing bottom funnel DSP, we're doing sponsored products, sponsored brands, sponsored video. So what is actually the highest path with the highest conversion rate? And so far, to be honest, there's way too much data that comes out of this. And there's way too many unique points. No, it's about optimizing. Yeah. And I think that's what we're getting to, because there is so many unique touch points that it's actually really hard in the start to really judge what is working that well. But I think the level of the granularity of the information is really good. So we also have information on what is the best touch point, but on a device level. Also diving deeper into, I know day parting is a huge day parting, and look back windows are a huge topic also in the advertising industry. So
for DSP,
that is also some data you do for DSP especially, so you can get information from like what is the highest, when does your audience really convert, and what is a look back that is most optimal for you. And I think now we're working a lot closely with AMC audiences, because I think that's quite recent feature that they've launched this year. And we actually tested up. So with AMC audiences, I can just to dive deeper, that we can basically now create audiences out of the AMC, which does not just include sponsored display or sponsored DSP data, but sponsored products data, sponsored brands, all of our data within Amazon. Mm-hmm. So you can create audiences based on keywords, for example. You can create audiences based on their activity, which could be anything from add to carts, or if they bought 6 months ago and they haven't bought anymore. Also for the lifetime value of shoppers. So we recently created an audience for our Prime Day fall event, which was shoppers who added us to cart in the last 30 days.
Oh, great.
And this gets refreshed every day, this audience. And then we added it to our DSP. And actually, we saw really good results in only 2 days. We had a really good ROAS on it, and we were keeping this audience running now.
So That's a really, really interesting point, and we can do a shift from that to another really important topic. So at the end of the day, what just to make it a little bit more clear, what you can do with AMC, or what is Agriti doing for Foodspring with AMC, is to make it a lot more specific, to do the target groups a lot more specific, which always ends that you can do a lot more effective advertising, because the conversion rate is going to be a lot higher. So you have on the one hand, you have less ad spend, you have a lot better ACoS, and on the other hand, you have probably a lot more revenue because you're able to do it more, to spend your budget a lot more efficient. So you also connected it with a deal event with the fall Prime Day, which just has been the best deal event or the best Prime Day, sorry, the best Prime Day for Amazon so far. And with, I think, like nearly 14 billion in revenue. And now there's going to come Black Friday, there's going to come Cyber Monday. And for you, not only those specific deal events, also maybe, and that is also a question at the same time, also special deal days special deal days in the high season. Do you do something like that? What do you do with that? And how do you connect it, especially with the AMC and your own AMC dashboard?
Yeah. I think so, at least given, like I said, the quarter, these quarters are not, seasonality-wise, they're not our strongest. So I think for us, it's very, very relevant to be active during these deal events just because of the traffic increase and the traffic coming in. So I think the visibility and the chances of, like I said, to just for us to be there, it's very, very important for us. So we are definitely taking part in the Black Friday Cyber Monday deals, which are upcoming for the whole week. And I think that whole week has the traffic is just 100 times more. And the audience that we actually tested on Prime Day was just a test audience. But now, for example, for Black Friday Cyber Monday, we want to create a whole full funnel approach with AMC audiences to target very, very specific audiences who have probably were searching for, to begin with, on the top funnel search, like who probably just looking for certain keywords that we want to target where we know our products are in discount. And then if we go to the mid funnel, we would probably like to target audiences who were dormant or who are aware of our brand but did not convert for a while, and then go really into bottom funnel and also then test different look back windows. So I think that's the goal with our AMC set up for now for our DSP activations during Black Friday.
Do you also do specific deal days or there are no deal events, so do you do specific deal dates during your high season, or do you not do that?
On Amazon, we always only take part on the main deal events, the Prime Days and the Black Fridays, Cyber Mondays.
All right. So I think we had a lot of really, really interesting things so far in it. We also said at the beginning, or in the talk we had before, or the talk before the podcast, that we maybe can have a little bit of a look into next year. Maybe on the one hand, regarding Foodspring. Let's do that at first. And on the other hand, regarding Amazon in total, Amazon advertising especially, which is our and your main topic. What is going to be interesting, or what is going to be the goals regarding Amazon specifically for Foodspring next year?
Yeah.
What you can tell us.
What I can tell you. I think for Foodspring, I would like I said, I think I also mentioned this in my last podcast, but we probably didn't live up to that promise, but we want to test a lot
more. That,
so
actually,
for example, the one test that I think is definitely becoming more and more a topic in this world as well, and with the current, with the new algorithm as well, that we want to test a lot more sending external traffic on Amazon. And that's something we're looking to test at the moment with a lot of affiliate links and affiliate publishers. That is a huge topic for Foodspring and for me at the moment, to try to increase our external traffic sources in order for our products I think with the focus of this being to get better organic rankings on our products in order to spend less, in order to get better margins at the end of to tie it all back. And what else for Foodspring, I think, and I think then it has to do with Amazon specific features. I think I know that we spoke about virtual bundling already, which I hope would be a bigger topic. Also, I think you mentioned Moritz as well before about day parting, which I think would be a huge, and I think we've tested this out with tools before, but never really specifically on Amazon. I mean, when it's launched, I think this would be quite interesting Amazon-wise.
100%. So I also we work a little bit on that as well right now for a few tests, and it is a game changer. We got it. We got also a lot more data regarding that, especially without an AMC dashboard for all sellers. We got it for vendors, so 1P sellers. I think. I don't know, 7 8 weeks, something like that. Last quarter three, we got the rapid retail analytics. We got there where we can, where we have those data on an hourly basis, as well as we got it, I think, a few weeks ago. So it has been in the fourth quarter, I think, as well for sellers that we get those, or for 3P sellers, we got that data on an hourly basis. So we're getting there. A lot faster right now, and it makes a major difference. As you already mentioned before, you can get so much more profitability if you do that, like day parting. It's a huge difference when you advertise, and if you can do it more specific, it's it could be a game changer. So I think there's not only something to do the turn directly. It's not only a thing for FoodSpring next year. I think that should be,
Everything.
especially with the increase on advertising costs as well, the cost per clicks and CPMs and so on and so on. They still increase, and they will not stop to increase. There is lot yeah They will not stop to increase 100%. So something like that is gonna be a lot more important for next year. And I think everybody has to focus on that to be able to be on the top of Amazon advertising next year. What do you think is also gonna spice it up a little bit next year regarding Amazon? So we have day parting, we have the virtual bundling. What do we also have? Or what do you also see?
I mean, I don't want to be the only one saying this. I think everyone's saying this now, artificial intelligence. I think there's a lot more open AIs and a lot more things that ChatGPT can do that we're actually not even aware of yet. So it's not just listing optimization. I think it's going to open a lot more opportunities for us.
But it's also relevant, so
And
we just not
yeah,
want
super relevant.
to decrease the relevance of that, but it's definitely for sure.
I think it's not well explored in this field yet, so that's why I'm really curious to see what comes up in our fields for it.
Yeah, I think you can work with target groups and so on a little bit so far, but it's not that into detail, and it's not that big of a game changer right now. But it changes from maybe not week to week, but at least from month to month. So I'm pretty curious about that as well. So I think I have to think what's. I also think the day parting is gonna be big. Or maybe it is gonna be at least for the. I think it's really hard to do it, to talk about the whole next year, but at least about the first quarter next year, I think those two are gonna be the main ones for sure. So we already have a
I
lot of.
agree.
A lot talked, or we already talked a lot about a lot. English is not the best. And we also have a lot of, I think, more than 30 minutes already. And we promised the listeners in one of the last podcasts that we try to be for free at the beginning of the time. So, what is gonna, so we said at the big, or you told me at the beginning that you're gonna be in New York next week. Is it next week? That you're gonna be in New York
It
next week. I didn't get it in the first second, actually. I thought it's a
is.
holiday or something, but it's maybe better than that. Can you tell us what you're not they're gonna do next week in New York? I think that's a good end.
I'm actually really excited because I got an opportunity, and I'm getting an opportunity to attend Amazon Ads Unboxed. in New York, which I think is a huge, I'm super excited. I've always wanted to attend it, but we're not just attending, but actually we have a breakout session that is featured, that is featuring Foodspring, about Amazon ads. So I think I'm really super excited about it. And yeah, it's not just a holiday, but I'm yeah.
Can you just
also
give a few sentences what Amazon Unboxed is? I do not know. I don't think everybody does know what Amazon Unboxed is. And one small hint before I forget it, it's also, I think, the first time, I'm not 100% sure, but the first time as well in Europe this year. It's going to be in London. I don't know when. I think in a few weeks as
I think
well.
Right after that.
I think so as well, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, so what is Amazon Unboxed?
Sure. Amazon Unboxed is the biggest Amazon ads conference, yearly conference, which is held generally in New York, where they have, I think the structure is that they have a lot of certification courses. And of course, they have keynotes from the biggest Amazon, from the biggest Amazon advertisers and Amazon ads executives. And I think this is the biggest conference where they announce everything that they're going to work, that is the biggest things are being announced that they're going to work on in the next year, or the most biggest announcement in that industry. So I think, it's the biggest Amazon ads conference.
And it's from Amazon itself. So they do it.
Yeah.
So it's not from any other company which does an Amazon conference. It's from Amazon ads itself.
Yeah.
Yes. Really interesting. I'm really, really looking forward to your keynote, your speech at the e-commerce night. I think that's going to be really, really interesting. I'm also really interested in which kind of specific Amazon tips you can give us or you want to give us. Thank you so much for being here, Akriti. Maybe we're going to do a third one next year. Let's see when it all when day parting got a lot more relevant, when they launched virtual bundling and so on.
Yeah,
let's see. Thank you so much, Akriti.
Thank you, Moritz. Thank you. It's always really fun talking to you.
Ciao.
Ciao.